you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, May 16th, 2016. Reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The focus of today's edition of Mark and Friends. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friends, you're in for a special treat. If you have a habit of tuning in for the Wednesday or Friday edition of Mark and Friends, you know I have a co-host, my friend, Pastor Jason Schiffo, who's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And generally, you get to hear us have a conversation over the air with y'all. And then on Friday, most times we focus specifically through the book of Acts this last year or two. But today and tomorrow, you're going to hear him preaching as recorded just 8 days ago during the Sunday service that I attended. It was recorded May 8th on Mother's Day as Jason is preaching on a series, Being Equipped to Go. And today and tomorrow's message is Being Equipped by the Holy Spirit. And so we'll begin the broadcast in just a moment with Jason opening up in prayer and then turning to Romans chapter 8. But first, a quick shout out. The singing men did phenomenally well during their God-honoring testimony and concert at the Taylorville Correctional Center. I did a little 2-minute announcement yesterday highlighting just the feedback that we got from the inmates as they came up to the men and hugged them, shook their hands, and shared many wonderful comments and words of encouragement as we saw God do a mighty work in all of our lives. It was just a fantastic outreach, and we were all overwhelmed on how God showed up in very unique ways. By the way, our next concert, the Singing Men of GNN, will be joined by Ivan Parker, and that's happening Saturday, June 11th at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy, and you can find out all about it at greatnewsradio.org. All right, here's my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, as recorded a few weeks ago, opening up the Sunday service in prayer.
Father, we thank you that we could come before you, the God of the universe who created all things in and through him and for him. That we can come before you and we can pray about specific things. The personal, specific, intimate things of our lives. Father, this morning as we celebrate this cultural holiday of Mother's Day, Father, we want to pray for all the families. All the families that have mothers, all the families that are motherless, all the mothers who might be mourning loss, all the grandmothers who may be mourning loss or celebrating abundance. Father, we don't just want to celebrate those who are moms today, but we want to celebrate and lift up and pray and intercede and love upon all those who have claimed the mantle of motherhood. Father, even those singles who may be living in a neighborhood, Father, and loving on the neighbor kids, loving on families around them, in a way being a mother to another brother. Father, let us never be so short-sighted that we would see motherhood as this one thing. When you've seen our ability to care and love for one another in this mantle of authority as a greater and bigger thing. And Father, we pray for those mothers who are in marriages. Marriage is a tough thing, Father. And we ask that you would strengthen and gird those marriages for the days to come, for the things the culture says that marriage should be, that marriage is not, because your book tells us differently. Father, for those marriages that are struggling because marriage is just a hard thing sometimes. And Father, we just pray the comfort and strength and clarity that only your Holy Spirit can bring during those difficult and hard seasons. Father, we pray for sickness and we pray for health. Father, we pray for the miraculous and we thank you for the practical things that you do, the medicines and mechanisms and machineries, the hospitals, the doctors that you've gifted, the ways that you've created care for us, for these failing and falling bodies that we have. Father, we just can't, as Skip is so fond of saying, thank you enough for all that you do. And so, Father, we pray that you would give us the strength to pray in such a way that we would just empty ourselves out in intercession towards you and for you. Because we believe that all things are towards you, for you, and through you. And therefore, it's in your mighty name that we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Romans chapter 8. I prayed a little bit of it, but I just want to say this, that I want to wish all the moms in the room a happy Mother's Day, because I watch my wife at work and motherhood is not easy. And those of us who have stepped out of fatherhood and tried to do motherhood, it doesn't go well. And so we want to celebrate mothers. But I also want to just take that moment to realize that motherhood is broad and it is deep. And it is those who have maybe never had children who are mothers to others. It is those who have lost children and are mourning mothers. It is a greater and broader. So please, if you're in one of those camps this morning, know that we love you and we don't want to simply celebrate someone else and disclude you. We want to celebrate all those moms in the room today. We've been doing this series called Equipped to Go. And what we've been doing is we've just been talking about the fact that I believe that Bible studies, books, and conferences are wonderful things. I read like a crazy person. I go to conferences because I love the ways that I am equipped and encouraged at them. And I love Bible studies as we grow in grace and knowledge. But I really do believe that God has equipped every one of us to do the things that He's called us to do. To love our brothers as ourselves and to share the gospel confidently. He's given us everything to be able to do these things. He didn't come down and tell Abraham, well, you're going to need a Bible study too. Now, He did say to study the Word. But He didn't come down and specifically say, you've got to begin to fill your life up with all those things. Because I believe those things are there to sharpen the implement, not necessarily to be the implement. And I think one of the dangers that will come from kind of this piece of our cultural Christianity is that we don't believe we can do something till we do the next thing. Like, I don't believe I can share the gospel unless maybe I just do one more evangelism study or one more study on the Bible or one more book that I read. Then maybe somehow there'll be the answer in there that'll allow me to be able to do it. When I think that God's already given you everything that you need to do it. He has given you Himself and He is able. He has given you His Son who was willing. He has given you His Holy Spirit who is power. He has been given you His Word which is truth. And He has given you His church which will equip you and send you. Those are what we're going to talk about in week 4 and 5 next week and the week after that. But today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I want to do so probably, it's going to seem to you in a strange way, because it's going to seem in this message like I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit a lot. And that's because I don't think we can talk about the Holy Spirit without talking about what God has done and what Christ has done. Because they're three in one. And so to divide them, I think, is a very dangerous thing. And so I think that what's missing for all of us is not that next Bible study, not that next conference, not that next book that we're going to read, but I think that what is missing from us and for us is a clear picture of who God is. A clear picture of who God is. If you turn with me over to Romans chapter 8, absolutely one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Although some of you are going to say, you say that about every chapter in the Bible. It's God's Word. I really like it. Kind of staked my life on it. As have you. But I will tell you this, by way of no details. Romans chapter 8, as I have studied for this message over the last week and a half, and I thought I was ahead. Like, I thought I was killing it. Like, I thought, I'm ahead. This is great. I'll be able to start this week on next week's message, and this is going to be wonderful. And it didn't happen like that. As I studied and prayed about these beginning words, therefore now there is no condemnation, I experienced condemnation at every turn this week. Every turn. And I wasn't surprised by it. But I was hurt by it. As I think all of us are. Romans chapter 8, as we turn over and we begin to look at it, Romans chapter 8 is what we would call, and what I call, the Christian Declaration of Freedom. If you want the Magna Carta Christian Declaration of Freedom, if you want to know what it means to be free in Christ and what it means for what Christ has done, Romans chapter 8 gives it. It tells us it. You know, Charles Spurgeon says this, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without wind. We are branches without sap. And like coals without fire, we are absolutely useless, Spurgeon says. And you would say, well, if this is the Christian Declaration of Freedom, why are you giving me a quote from Charles Spurgeon on the Holy Spirit? Because the key word in Romans chapter 8 is the word Spirit. Up until this point in Romans chapter 8, up until we've gotten to Romans chapter 8, the Spirit has only been mentioned in the book of Romans 5 times. In Romans 1:4, the Spirit of holiness. 1:9, serve in the Spirit of the gospel. Romans 2:29, by the Spirit. 5:5, the Holy Spirit pouring out love of God into our hearts. Romans 7:6, serving in a new way of the Spirit. And then we come to chapter 8. And chapter 8 mentions the Spirit 21 times. Up until 8, 5 times. 8, 21 times. I think God's trying to tell us something. I went to public school, and I got that one. And you got it too. Took a minute. 21 times. And this is important. You know what I think? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 17 says this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 21 times this is mentioned in the book of Romans chapter 8. That's why I call it the Christian Declaration of Freedom. Because where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Which is entirely fitting because I think Romans chapter 8 is our liberation through God's Spirit. The way God's Spirit comes and liberates us. And as we get into this, I hope you'll feel this. But I'm going to put only one verse up today. We're going to talk about more verses because you know I can't not do that. More than one verse. I just can't do it. We're going to do just one verse I'm going to put up here because I want it to just sit with you the whole time. The first verse of Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now. Everybody say now with me. Now. That's why it's capitalized. Say it with me. Now. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Imagine, if you will, with me, two great armies clash on the battlefield of life. The people of God and the sins that would defeat them and the people who do not fight as well as they should. And sometimes these people even yield to their enemy. But even as the battle rages far and well before the promised victory of this battle, the commander of God's army orders the banner to be raised right in the middle of the troops for all to read. And as the banner is raised, it reads, "No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." And that declaration should have a remarkable effect on the people of God. They do not use the declaration as an excuse to defect to the other side, but instead to rejoice with certainty in the final triumph of a king. And they are energized by this banner to fight on. Romans chapter 8 and 21 tells us, set free from bondage and corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. F.F. Bruce says this, there's no reason why those who are in Christ Jesus should go on serving a penalty as though they've never been pardoned and liberated from the prison house of sin. Let me read that one more time because I think it's so important. There is no reason why those who are in Christ Jesus should go on serving a penalty as though they have never been pardoned and liberated from the prison house of sin. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now there is two kinds of now. The first example is a now where finally everything is in place. Everything has been done. Finally, now. You know, our kids receive birthday cards from their relatives, and for some strange reason they like to send them weeks before their actual birthday. And so what happens is every single day the kids come bounding downstairs. We set them up on top of the mantle. The kids come down and they go, can we open those cards today? Not yet. It's not your birthday yet. Can we open them now? Not yet. Only on your birthday. And when that day comes, the kids are jumping and they're hopping because they know it is the day. It is what? Finally. Finally now. Finally now is the culmination of waiting. Now, the second example of now, because there's two kinds of now, so really hold on to this because this is the core of the message. The second now is this, a now that comes before you thought it would. Imagine you're having horrible car problems. Anybody have horrible car problems? Well, the rest of you have just got really good cars. Imagine you're having horrible car problems, one headache after another, and a family member way out in the outer circles of your family hears about your car troubles, your incessant car troubles, and they send you a card in an envelope, and inside that card in that envelope is a check for $10,000, and it says, I want you to have this so you can buy a new car. I've always intended to give it to you out of my inheritance when I pass, but I hate to see you struggle. So here is a portion of that now to ease your burden. See, the now isn't later, it's already now. It's something that should come far down the road, but it is absolutely an already now. Two kinds of now. Finally now, the culmination of waiting, and already now, it happened before it should have. Those are important because Romans 8:1 is the finally now. The prophets have declared that there was one to come. The Word says since Genesis chapter 3 that there will be one who will come. And all throughout the Old Testament they're waiting for this person to come. Who will he be? When will he come? How will he come? And as we turn into the pages of Matthew chapter 1, finally now he has come. Finally now. There is therefore now. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Finally, now. You know, if I asked you to make a list of things that have caused you the most tension, anxiety, and depression in your life, the things that you think it's just not worth getting out of bed today, if I asked you to make a list of the things that just make you feel like you just want to absolutely give up, what would be on that list? What would it look like? And I don't know what your list looks like. I know what mine looks like. I don't know what yours looks like. But if I were to add to it a constant, repeated sense of condemnation, a sense of shame and guilt before the Lord, your life would become indeed unbearable. If I asked you about the hurtful things, the debilitating things that have been spoken of you and over you, chances are they were condemning. Does anybody feel that? There's nothing that will destroy your ability to fulfill your calling as a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, and a Christian like condemnation. You know, when I was a kid, they used to have this commercial on TV that said words hit harder than a fist. And I remember somebody telling me why that was true when I was much younger. They said because they sting and they stick. When somebody speaks something to you that's condemning, it hurts and it stings and it sticks. And it's really hard to get rid of it. Really hard. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, if you got a hold of this, no condemnation in Christ, you have the most glorious truth you will ever know in the whole of your life. He says, most Christian people fail and fall into sin because they are depressed and allow the devil to depress them. I have to tell you, friends, I'm not unlike you. There are seasons in my own life where in the quiet darkness of my own heart, I say, I am so full of anxiety. I am so frustrated. I feel so discouraged and I feel so defeated. Times when I say, I'm just sad, really sad. And in those moments, I have to tell you that I need this verse. I need this verse that says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I need to read that and to hear that Christ is capable. I need to hear that Christ is victorious. I need to hear that He is sovereign, that He is loving, and that I am forgiven. I need to hear that I can press on because liberation has come. I need no longer to live in the prison house because liberation has come. But how many of us daily go to the prison house? Somebody says something about you. Somebody writes something about you. Somebody unintentionally makes a comment and the door slams on that prison house and you sit on the cot and you wait. How many of us have experienced that? I know I have, even in this past week, in such a way that I didn't even want to go to sleep because of the things that would invade my dreams. And what if I said this to you, friends? It's true, and I believe it with all my heart, that these words, no condemnation, are the most beautiful words in the world. Gosh, friends, just underline them and circle them. Write them on the doorpost of your home. They are beautiful because they are freeing. They're amazing. Friends, come in off that ledge. Rise out up off that bed of your depression. Get up out of that chair that seems to hold you and you can't seem to move. Because these beautiful words have come. Give your fears to the truth. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As I've read this scripture over and over again for the last 7 to 10 days, I just have to tell you that I want those liberating words for this church. I want those liberating words for me. I want those for my family. I want those for my friends. I want those for every single one of you. I don't want you to live in prison anymore. I want you to feel liberated by these words. Because condemnation has come and you know it. I want them for you. And in that same quote, Martin Lloyd-Jones goes on to say this. Ah, they say, I have sinned, so how can I make such a great statement? Some of you maybe even right now are saying, how can I make that statement? You don't know what's been said about me. You don't know what I've been feeling. You don't know what I've been struggling with. How can I say these words? Martin Lloyd-Jones, he's got your back. He says, I've sinned, how can I make such a statement? And he says, have you ever heard the word faith, my friends? This verse is the answer of faith to, of all our troubles. This is what God tells us about ourselves. And He puts it in such an absolute, complete, and certain manner that you have to trust it. You have to trust it. And those words that I want and those words I want for you, let me tell you what, they can only be said of those of us who are in Christ Jesus. These words, there is therefore now, no condemnation, are the words that are for those who are in Christ Jesus. In. And what a fabulous phrase. In Christ Jesus. There is nothing that is better in my mind. Nothing better, simpler, clearer, and more profound to describe our relationship with Jesus than the word in. I'm not going to give you a high theological word you have to memorize for Christ Jesus today for your relationship with Him. I'm going to give you a simple one. In. We sang it, didn't we? In Christ alone. And some of us went to the Christ alone part and forgot the power of the in. In. Nothing is simpler, clearer, more profound to describe our relationship than in. In Christ means that His righteousness is accredited to us. But listen to me, friends. We're not just those who are in Christ, Romans 8:1. We're also those who Christ is in, Romans 8:10. And that is fabulous when you think about it. Because in 8:1, we're embraced by Christ. We're in Christ. We're embraced by Jesus Christ. But in 8:10, we embrace Christ. In this fantastic movement in Romans, the first verse, He embraces us. And in the 10th verse, we embrace Him. And God has done all of this work of grace. And that means that we are not holding on to Him as much as He is holding on to us. And therefore, friends, this is not about getting tough on your impulses. This is not about getting serious about your desires. This is not about keeping yourself from temptation or guarding your hearts from everything that is impure. No. The world is a condemning place. Amen? If you spend enough time in it, you're going to find that you are not pretty enough. You are not smart enough. You are not fast enough. You are not funny enough. You will never be thin enough. You will never be witty enough. You will never be any of it. Why would you spend time there? Why would you do that? Because God has made provision for sinful men and women with the sin-expelling work of the Holy Spirit. All that God is gives all that God can give. He's replaced the best of what you and I can do with the very best that He can do. Something that only He can do. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses instead of keeping your eyes on God. And what a silly thing. What an absolutely silly thing. Considering that they only give you equal to their riches, but God gives you out of His riches. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Romans 8:9 and 10 says this. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You, my friends, are in Christ if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Listen to that word again. In. Go home to your neighbors and say, I learned a new word today. In. They're going to put you in a nut house, but you got it right. Don't worry. In. And therefore, there is no condemnation for those in whom Christ lives by the liberating work of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is that liberating work? I know you guys are dying to find out. Verse 2 introduces the liberation. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Now, the word here, law, for those of you who might be thinking, what does that mean, law? I've heard that used in some really kind of smack in the Bible in hurtful ways. The word here, law, means the idea of power and authority.
Power and authority? Where's Jason going to go next with this? Well, you're going to have to tune in tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends to hear more, as this was a message delivered on Mother's Day just 8 days ago by my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, who pastors at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. He's in the midst of a sermon series on being equipped to go. This being the third in his, I think, 5 or 6 part message, the Spirit is power. One certain takeaway that I think God would have us all be mindful of is that first verse in Romans chapter 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.